Welcome, welcome.
I'm getting smooth.
I saw like you're focused in the zone. It's the Mind of Muncie podcast.
I'm getting better.
Your favorite stop for all things incoherent, maybe wrestling related, maybe K-pop Korean related, maybe just random music information. There's some trivia.
Could be a TV
also
show
thrown
review.
In. Exactly.
Could be, you know, we've done all types of stuff at this point.
We do what we want, but it is your host, Monty G, and I, Mo, and today we're going to talk about everything and nothing at all. First up, let's get into wrestling news.
That's one way to put it, I guess. We got some headlines to get into, a lot of stuff to get into when it comes to not only in the wrestling community, but like you said, when we get to your marbles later, there's a lot of headlines, you know, believe it or not, a lot of things that I kind of want to get my 2 cents on. So let me get right into it with, of course, the Impact Wrestling news that we heard earlier this week about the Inspiration, leaving and being basically done with Impact Wrestling.
Pursuing other ventures.
Yeah, and we talked about that. It's not really, I know plenty of people should be sad to see them go, of course, or see them do something else. But, it wasn't really a surprise because if you've been paying attention, literally before they were released from WWE, they had kind of were starting to branch out, you know, and model more and do different things. So, and, like we talked about with their own like VIP or type of OnlyFans type of thing that they had going on, that's consistent income, passive income where you don't have to take bumps. And another thing, like I said, long term, especially for a group like them, as career, like you mentioned, formerly known as Billie Kay, Jessica McKay, right?
Yes.
Got an opportunity, in a movie right coming up.
Yeah, she got cast for a movie.
Think about it. Like, the best part of the Iconics when they were in WWE was the character work, was how committed and how well they played the character. Billie Kay's timing, comically at times, was perfect for, like, theater or entertainment, if you see what I'm trying to say,
yes.
When it comes to television shows and all that. So it makes sense when you really think about it. And like we know they're both beautiful, so modeling is obviously a possibility. So who knows exactly? I'm pretty sure it's in-depth interviews already, or questions being asked about what caused it or why or in particular. But it just seems so far they're gonna be doing different things, and that's fine. I applaud that, and I won't. The same thing what I was talking about with CJ, with Lana.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
She's
keep doing your thing.
It and
yeah,
acting too.
Keep doing it, influencing also, influencing
yeah.
Because every time I see her on Snapchat or some of these other things, she's promoting a new Shein outfit or something like that, and that's a good way to stay busy and keep income coming in and benefit from that following you got from being on WWE television, and even if it's not, like, a lot of these people, the thing is about wrestling fans or even just fans of you, even if they follow Lana because they think she's hot, a lot of that stuff works.
Yes.
And it works, and it ends up being things that you could show to other companies and all of that to show that you're marketable. So, yeah, shout out to all those ladies and everyone, taking control of their own future, when it comes to this. Because we talk about it as wrestlers. We're going to talk about that more later. As wrestlers, they don't really have much control.
No.
What you see on television or what they have to do. Sometimes, you got some people who got wiggle room or who can do certain things. But, for the most part, you have to do what you're told. So it's cool whenever they're kind of in control of their next move and all that. I like that. I like when the wrestlers get a chance to have some control. And this week's Raw, I want to get into this, April 25th edition, was the lowest rating since January. So, that was headline news. I don't really pay attention to the ratings as much, but I just wanted to mention that, they were on a nice little run, and now they're creeping back down. It seemed like the WrestleMania buzz and hype is
dying down
a little bit. And, I think Raw has been the better of the show, even though SmackDown is still leading by a lot in ratings, I think. So, or at least by at least like 400,000 people, I think. So, either way it goes, Raw, they're going to have to pick it up. But we'll see. We'll keep an eye on that to see if that, that matters to some people. It doesn't really matter to me. But I know it matters to promoters and stuff like that. So, it's important. So, cases of COVID-19 are down in the United States, but it's still impacting professional wrestling. You know, I didn't mention this yet, but Hangman Page missed Dynamite this week and missed a good opportunity on the show for something that I'll talk about in a second that they were planning to do. And, you know, Will Ospreay, by the way, was pulled from Sunday's New Japan event due to positives with COVID. So I want to wish, you know, everyone who's out, even, and apparently it's also some secret, not necessarily secret, but I guess it's a secret because they're not reporting it. But it's people who've been pulled off tours, because that's what happens in WWE now when you're in protocol. They just pull you off tour so they can prevent the spread of everything. So just want to send, you know, best wishes to everyone dealing with that. Also wanted to read off this headline because I just thought it was funny, and I want you to see. This is literally the could have been the shortest article in Paul Davis's From Wrestling News .com. It could have been there literally. Could have been the shortest article ever, because the headline is Eddie Kingston burned from fireball to the face on AEW Dynamite. And this is the description: Eddie Kingston took a fireball to the face from Chris Jericho on tonight's episode of Dynamite. You could have just left it there. You didn't even have to explain. You know, he didn't explain much else.
Wow.
Either about it. He just kind of set up why it happened. You know, they had a segment before that in the ring and all that type of stuff. But I just thought that was, you know, that made news that we had the fireball spot. So nice to see that that's returning to wrestling. And what it is nice to see that people, the fireball spot is returning. AEW, again, staying with AEW here with the news. CM Punk will challenge the world champion Hangman Page at Double or Nothing. So what I mentioned earlier about Hangman missing is that he missed this week's call out from Punk for the most part. Punk kind of definitely told the fans that, you know, he's going to be fighting, and he said he don't know if he's going to win, but he's betting on himself, you know, stuff like that. Who knows? You know, he's still going with the babyface route. Maybe this is a way to get Punk on the other side so we can see a heel CM Punk in 2022. You know, that's possible, but at the same time, it could just be a good match where the challenger falls. I don't see Hangman losing to him, even though I don't necessarily know if people would be that mad if Hangman lost to Punk. We'll see. I haven't been watching to hear, like, different reactions from the crowd that's in Dynamite and all that, at Dynamite every week. And speaking of at Dynamite, next headline, Ring of Honor Women's World Champion, Deonna Purrazzo, which, by the way, one of the best in the world, like, since her release from NXT. She's just been killing it, you know, wherever she goes. She will be making her debut on Dynamite next week. So, yeah. And it looked like she's going to be fighting, Mercedes Martinez in an interim ROH World Championship match. So, yeah. That's going to be good. I can't wait to see that. And shout out to Deonna Purrazzo. Keep killing it. I'm pretty sure her and Mercedes will do fine if given the chance. And we do have to go ahead and give some claps. I should have gave Billy and the inspiration some claps. But I do definitely want to give claps to Scorpio Sky for becoming the TNT champion again. I have no clue. I mean, I guess it's fine because some people felt justified. They were like, "Ah, well, Scorpio got it back." They were trying to tell the story with Sammy winning it and all that. I still don't like Sammy winning it. I still don't think he had to win it. But, you know, it was what it was. I think Paige VanZant pulled up. And, you know, and now it seems like they actually turned Scorpio Sky and the crew. It's kind of funny when you think about it. The Men of the Hour and them are now the babyfaces.
Dan Lambert's with them.
I don't necessarily know if Dan was there. I wouldn't be surprised if he was there if Paige VanZant came out too.
Dan can't be there if they're babyface.
Well, you know, I don't know. I don't necessarily know if he was out there. Like, again, I didn't watch. But I will say it was a scary 450 splash that I think later I'm going to find out that Guevara may be hurt. But we'll see. I'll confirm that with another headline or rumor later. But, yeah, he crashed on the mat after doing another 450 off the top of the ladder, doing something absolutely insane and missing Sky.
As always,
Sammy never surprises me anymore when it comes to just trying to kill himself for our entertainment. I appreciate that. But, yeah, you should. I don't know if you're going to be doing this for the next 20 years at this pace. But anyway, there was interference during the match, like we mentioned, with Ty and Paige, and announcers made it clear who the baby faces and heels are. And, you know, the boos were raining down on Ty and Sami. So they literally, from the moment they touched each other on screen, have turned heel. And, you know, that's fine. You know, sometimes what I do like is that this also shows me that maybe people were on to something about Cody not wanting to turn. Like, it literally being Cody. Because it's not the fans. It's not like AEW show. When they hit the fans, they'll do it.
Oh,
they'll
yeah.
They'll turn it. They'll turn you. Like when Hook got over, like, oh, yeah, we're going to get you Hook every week now. You know what I'm saying? Like,
they listen to
Wardlow. Like, oh, yeah, the fans was doing it. Like, yeah, don't. Exactly. So the fans wanted Cody to turn heel. Maybe management wanted him to turn heel. But Cody was like, no way. But you see how easy it is to turn heel. Just do something we don't like. You know, ask your girlfriend to marry you on television. You know, basically on television. And
basically
on television. And then, you know.
Part amicably.
Part with that girlfriend in a quick succession. And then hook up with another employee. With, you know, with a fellow employee.
The co-worker.
Yeah, a co-worker. So, yeah. And you're heel that fast.
I don't even think it's
It probably that. Wasn't all of that. It's a lot of other stuff, too, like the annoying photos and obnoxious. How lovey-dovey they've been on. Ugh. Like, people don't know what. Like, we talked about this before as just people who are old people in a relationship. Like, we're old at this point. We're elderly together. Like, we're ancient at this point. So, looking at new love or new people when they're really infatuated with each other, it makes us sick. It makes both of us sick. We just like, ugh. Like, yeah, whatever, you hate it. You just give yourself a little time. Not that me and you hate each other. It's just that, you know, we know that as people, we're not going to like each other all the time. Like, no one likes or loves each other all the time the way most new relationships are.
The thing about new relationships, you feel like, and every new relationship does, is like you have to have all this PDA.
Yeah.
And it's like, just go home.
And people who've been in relationships a long time know that a lot of that stuff is really not that important. But, you know, it is what it is. It is what it is. I don't mind it. This is all cool. But I want to get into this. This is some... I want to get into this news about Athena. This is real. It's formerly known as Ember Moon, if you don't know. I just want to read, basically, what she told Chris. Van
Vliet.
Vliet. Okay, I didn't want to be wrong. I didn't want to say wrong. I was about to call him Van Filet.
Filet.
I don't know why I put Filet. I think I'm hungry. I don't know why I put that in the man name. Shout out to you, man.
It's
great amazing. Interviews for a long time. Anyway, guys, back to this Athena news. I feel like I need to talk about it. You know, I need to get it off my chest. You know, and this is her speaking, not me. I probably should have said that before I started. But anyway, I need to get it off my chest. I need to get it out there in the universe because my last 4 months was just one of those moments that I just wasn't having fun anymore. And it started with Shotzi being gone and Shotzi being drafted. And I remember like thinking like I was sitting at home and I got a phone call saying, hey, we don't want you to be upset, but Shotzi just got moved to SmackDown. And she is debuting with Tegan as a tag team. And I was just sitting there, you know, I was like, I'm playing Dungeons and Dragons and the most beautiful day of my week, and I'm getting this phone call about how Shotzi's been drafted. And I was like, oh my God, I'm so happy for her. And then like the tag team thing popped out and I was like, but we're a tag team and we have merch and we're doing fun things and we just finally got into our groove with banter and stuff. But they're like, don't worry, we have stuff for you. And I was like, well, okay, cool. And I remember going to Hunter and Hunter was like, I have no clue what's happening. We'll try to figure it out together. And like, that was like so much of what I needed at that time because no one really knew what was going on, you know. Bayley had gotten injured. I know Shotzi and Tegan were going to do dark matches for a tryout anyway. And they were like, well, we've already had these girls here. Let's throw them out there. But the problem I had was kind of like some of the newer writers were like coming from Raw, coming from SmackDown. And they were like, we had no idea you and Shotzi were a tag team. And I was like just sitting there a lot in WWE backstage having to play the game of like, yeah, that's fine. It's cool. We get it. We're down here at NXT. It wasn't like we were on the front page of WWE.com or anything when we won the titles. But that's fine. Yes, you're just having to, I guess, eat the shit sandwich and smile with shit in your teeth a lot of the time because it's all about not making waves Athena continued that, okay, yeah, it's fine, cool. Yeah, I bet you didn't know we were a tag team. And it's just like, okay, cool. And it was like, you know, me and Hunter and the head writer at the time had all came up with that you're going to turn heel, you know, because that's something new. That's something different, you know. And during that process, you know, we wanted something new. And we wanted to do a losing streak, or at least that was her thought. Let me do a losing streak, she said. I see all these new faces coming through here. Part of my job at NXT was to help new talent, you know, which I get that. You know, I've been around for a very long time at this point, 16, 17 years. And I love this business so much that I didn't mind. I was like, hey, let me go on a losing streak. Let me get super frustrated. Let me turn. I remember, okay, this is a great idea. We got A, B, C, D, E, F. We're going to do your first feud with this person, that person. And then the first match happens, and I'm off TV for 4 weeks. And they're like, don't worry. We got this. We got this. Then Hunter left. And then I was supposed to do a match with Sarai, and I ended up getting a rash on my arm, and I had an allergic reaction to something that they thought was something else. So they pulled me from that match, and I was like, okay, cool, whatever. That's fine. All right, we're going to keep trucking. Like, hey, we'll do this match next week. And then, another 3 weeks later, they're like, hey, we're going to do this match. That match got pulled from TV. Then you go to one of the head coaches, and they're like, hey, do you want to do me a favor and work 205 live with Cora Jade? We really like her. She's sweet, and we really think this would be a fun match if you were, like, you know, the main event of 205. And I was like, okay, cool. Like, I'm never going to say no to having a match on TV, regardless of where it's airing or whatever like that. And me and Cora go out there, and we have a fun match. Banger. They go, you're turning in this match, but we want to make it subtle. So they kind of turn, but they don't. And then there was a lot of confusion on what was supposed to happen. I don't know if I turned heel or not, honestly. And then I was off TV for another 3 weeks. I have the match with Mandy, and they're like, we're really finally pulling the trigger on this. I get a note that week saying, hey, in 2 weeks, we need you to dye your hair that fire color again. We need you to get the red contacts. You're going up to the old Ember Moon character from Vince. And you're going to turn heel, and you're going to turn heel as your old character. We're trying to get the old music and all that stuff together. And I was like, all right, great. This is great. You know, I got my my bottle of whiskey, and I'm dying this hair. You know, yeah, I dyed my hair extension back to the fire, colored. And, you know, it took me about a minimum of 8 hours. It is extremely tedious. And during COVID, my dye supplier actually shut down. So I'm having to find different colors. I'm spending a fortune for my hair. And 2 weeks later, I show up to TV. I'm super motivated. I'm happy. I'm like, okay, it's fine looking like it's finally looking out for me, you know? Okay, it's finally gonna work. Just wait it out. Wait it out. And I remember Ryan Katz, a writer, and I went and filmed like a demo, kind of the vibe that I wanted. He's like, this is gonna be awesome. I come back, I get the video ready, I'm ready to show everyone after TV. And they go, hey, we got some bad news. And I was like, I'm sorry, what? No, Vince is pulling you off TV indefinitely. And I just kind of sat there. And I was like, what did I do? He's like, you did nothing wrong. And I was like, I've done everything that you guys asked me. And I remember sitting there, and I was just like, done. I've done everything you guys asked me, and I'm so done. I've went over and beyond. I've branched out, and she said, I'm sorry, I'm getting emotional about it. I'm trying not to, but I understand that this is my dream job, especially as a wrestling fan, like a lifelong wrestling fan. And when you care about something, you care about this business so much, not just for yourself, but everyone involved. It hurts so much because for so many years, I've not been about myself, if that makes sense. I've been for the match, for other people, to be told that I have done nothing wrong, but still was taking off TV for doing absolutely nothing wrong. It just hurts. It hurts so bad, man. I was happy walking into work. And I remember when Shotzi left, I remember going to my makeup artist and saying, you know what? I'm so unhappy. We'd have to sit through stupid meetings about how we would have to dress sexy. And I remember looking at someone else like, I cater to children. I'm not about to wear a fishnet booty butt cheek shorts because we had a 2-hour meeting about how to dress like Mandy Rose. That's not fair. Not everyone's going to be Mandy Rose. Mandy's absolutely phenomenal. She's an amazing person. But not everyone is Mandy Rose. That's literally her thing. Like, that's a great point. Like, It's literally her gimmick. Like, what was they kept telling you when she first debuted? Like, she was God's greatest creation is what they kept telling you. So, yeah. Like, everyone can't be there. Like, why do you want a bunch of Mandy Roses? So, yeah, that's a good point. But I started seeing this downslope soon as Hunter left. And, like, for the first in a little bit, we didn't even know why he was gone at first. We just knew he wasn't there, you know. Then I just got angry that he was gone and I did nothing wrong. I was like, I didn't even piss off Vince. And then she said after she was taken off TV, she was asked to be a coach. She refused. She said, I'm not going to help people who don't care about what we do. And she's going to fly home with only return until they had something for her that she could approve of. The worst part about this is that on some level, I knew that I was leaving. I had already gone and brought an extra bag, kept it in the locker room so I could pack all my stuff and leave. It had been there for a while. You know, I'm just so unhappy. Like, you know, I was like, this is going between booty butt cheek shorts meeting and them telling girls to alter their gear to make it more revealing. And some people were very uncomfortable with that. You know, they were like, nope, this is what they want. But then people were like, nope, this is what they want, so you got to do it. It didn't matter how that person felt. And I was like, okay, this isn't what I signed up for anymore. This isn't about wrestling. This isn't about the art that we created in the ring. This is turning into everything that I wanted to leave on Raw and SmackDown. You could just see the pity party started to form in the locker room. And I just have to be a leader and kind of just tell everyone, no, you know, it's okay. But then the jealousy and cattiness would come out and, well, why is this person on TV? She can't do this. I just was sitting there and I was just like, okay, I'm an adult. I can't deal with this high school bush. And I'd be like, guys, you know, it's okay because I have to be a leader. But if I didn't say it's okay, everyone in the locker room would just be in a negative zone and no one would be able to have any type of positivity because everyone looked at me because I was the longest tenured.
Mm.
There. So it was just a hard place to work at that point. So there you go. That's pretty much her explaining her last days in NXT, 2.0 or, you know, NXT in general. And I just wanted to read that because, of course, you have the problem in the things that went viral, like the booty butt cheeks that they in the revealing stuff. I do want to ask, not only ask you, but besides, after I say what I have to say about this, it's just, it's a lot there. The treatment of her towards the end is wrong, but that's not the first and it won't be the last time.
Yeah.
Stuff like that has happened. I don't understand how you can have a million ideas for a person and then, you know, you get them ready and then once it's time to go, to pull the trigger, immediately everything about that person. Nope, just get off TV indefinitely. And, you know, maybe it has something to do. Maybe it was a couple of things going on. Because once I was telling, I wanted to read the whole thing so you can see. Like, you have the whole, she's giving you the story of how it played out from her perspective, mm-hmm. from their perspective, maybe her attitude in some of those meetings. Because some of us, we can't necessarily hide how we feel with our faces or whatever. So you sitting in the meeting, getting told what you should, the direction we want to go in. You know, and then we can talk about politics, too. Whoever you told that you cater to children, that probably got back to some people.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Especially backstage. And once people get to talking, they're like, oh, well, she don't want to do this. She don't want to do that. And if you think about the direction that 2.0 is going in storyline-wise, we're going to talk about it a little bit more later. But they, for some reason, like I talk about it all the time on the WNR podcast, they got unnecessarily horny out of nowhere. Just all over that show. Just horny, horny, horny. So when you think about that and you think about her not wanting to do certain things, it's easy to see how out of nowhere you just wasted a whole bunch of time and money preparing for your return. You see what I'm saying? Like, I'm not saying that's exactly how it worked out. It may not have happened that way. But if you kind of read between the lines, it kind of feels like that. You know, like maybe, something like that happened. So they tried to change her. She didn't want to change. We talked about that kind of jokingly about ALP, you know, who was injured. Like, she got even more of a track record. But that's my point, though. So you don't have much of a track record and you're going to turn them down? Oh, yeah, you're going to get out the door. But even when you have a track record and you don't do what they want you to do or you don't like a direction that they're going in company-wise, it's like I mentioned earlier with wrestlers not having power. You don't really have anything to do other you're going to do it or they're going to let you go.
Right, and it's a lot of things.
And that's messed up.
Go. But what we're coming to find out is a lot of things in the business of wrestling from the company aspect is ego driven. Oh, you told me no? Well, we don't have anything for you. Oh, you don't want to re-sign this contract? Well, we'll just fire you.
Right.
100%. All of it is a lot of ego-driven things. It might not always come from the top, but a lot of these decisions are ego-based. And some of it's from the wrestler part of you, too, because, like, you have this investment, this character that you've worked for, and then for some person that don't know a thing about what I'm doing, to tell me, oh, I need to be like this other person, it's like, no, that's a hit to your ego. And
yeah. Especially when you've been wrestling longer than the other person and stuff, too. You've been doing this long. Like, exactly. We're not even talking about that.
And then you tell me, no, I'm not going to be on TV, but I want you to work these other people out.
I want you to train. Yeah, I want you to train this guy. This girl or this person. So, yeah.
No.
It's messed up. And that's why I want to talk about it, because, like, it's important. And, like, the whole meeting, and I'm going to get in a little bit more about the meeting that has, you know, come about from this interview. But that whole meeting, I'm not really surprised that it happened, because, like, again, look at the direction we're going in. But, you know, it's still nasty. It's nasty stuff. Like, I don't really like the fact that, you know, some of the stuff I'm seeing. Like, I mentioned this earlier, looking at a Last Legend versus a Nikita Lyons type of situation, the whole rivalry, everything they do with Nikita, every picture she posts, I'm just like, okay. Like, okay, this is what we're doing. And, like, it's obvious. You can't tell me Nikita wasn't in the meetings and when they were talking about do this and do that. It's obvious. You can't tell me even Tiffany Stratton, like some of these newer faces who may not know any better, what grounds do they have to say no?
None
of them. No one has any ground. Like she talked about, it's pity parties, but no one has any power to say no. That's not right. I don't care how you slice it. I don't care what company you like. I don't care who, whatever you mess with. It's not right. And, you know, I'll talk about more about who's rumored to be at fault here about that. Anyway, AEW Dynamite drew its lowest key demo rating since February. So all that demo god stuff, they were number 4 in cable. They were bragging on it. You didn't see that extra tweet that Tony always used to give when Dynamite was number 1 on Wednesday. I'm just saying, they are front runners. We can talk about all you want. Like, I love AEW, but AEW front run. Ain't nothing wrong with it.
Yeah.
As you should. Like, I don't have a problem with front runners, but they do it. Let's just call it when you see it. Yeah, when they on top, it's, oh, we're going to remind you. We great.
We the best.
When it's not as good, it's like, oh, well, you know, it was just a solid show. Fun. We had fun. Stuff like that. You don't see all the bragging. I'm messing with them, but still, there you go. Aiden English said if he were to go back to WWE, it wouldn't be as a wrestler, of course. It would definitely be as commentator. I'm not surprised. I have to announce that this is front page news, breaking news. Everyone get ready. The 30-minute mark of this show is absolutely legendary. I am excited as hell because they asked Bo Dallas whether or not he was done with wrestling. And my boy, Rotunda. I just don't know why. I like his last name, Rotunda. I like their last name. Shout out, by the way, shout out to Bray and JoJo. They getting married. Yeah. Shout out to Bray and JoJo.
Congratulations.
Bo Dallas said absolutely not. I'm the furthest thing from done with wrestling that you could possibly be.
Taylor.
It's Taylor Rotunda.
Taylor said he's done. He's not done. All right, wrestling. Cool.
Yeah, I didn't want. It's not that I promise you I didn't do that to say his first name. I just like his last name. But I got you. I'm glad you told me that. Because now I know. Because I know Wyndham. Yeah. Wyndham and Taylor. Anyway, I spent the past year diving into a bunch of different ventures. Yes, he has, outside of wrestling, but wrestling has never left my heart. Not for one second. I just wanted to get a couple things done before I dive back into something that I really care about. Now that I got everything wrapped up and worked on, within the next 2 or 3 months, you'll probably see me back in the ring somewhere very soon. Because the love of wrestling has never left me. Oh, man, I believe. I believe all day. Anybody who know about my boy Bo Dallas, you already know how I feel about him. I don't care. The greatest bulldog in wrestling history, the Bo Dog. Anyway, it was a better one.
I got that.
It was a better one. I'm talking. Anyway, WWE stars reportedly refused to go to that talent meeting on how women should dress. So yeah, I mentioned the talent meeting that Ember Moon was talking about, and you know, and she basically was talking about the booty butt cheek shorts. It's hilarious. I don't know how that's not like you can't viral at this point. Or something.
I understand why she said it.
I get what she's saying, but yeah.
Like, the word I have for that is so country. I don't even want to repeat
it. Yeah, don't even say it. I already know what you're talking about. There's no point even saying it. It's no point. There's no point even saying it. But anyway, they basically confirmed that at that meeting, people were encouraged to dress sexy, but they never blatantly was like, dress sexy. It was never said. It was implied, though. Feifel states that talent said it was John Laurinaitis.
Oh, no.
And it makes sense. But there's no confirmation there that he had anything to do with it. Vince McMahon would have that final say on that anyway. So you still have to get that. So Laurinaitis just follows Vince's orders. So it's still on Vince. But Laurinaitis has a history with this. Let's just go ahead and get it out the way. When they were recruiting fitness models and certain types of women to become wrestlers, he was the one at the head of that. You know, or at the head of making those talent relations decisions. So, you know, it's no surprise in my opinion that Laurinaitis' name is attached to this because this is not anything new. Mercedes Martinez opened up on why she initially signed with WWE instead of AEW. It was basically a situation where when they were negotiating in 2020 or whatever, AEW. Maybe was it 2020 or 19? It doesn't matter. Either way it go, they didn't have the TV deal lined up completely yet when she was about to sign. And so she just decided to go with what was best with her family, being that she was a veteran. And that's why she chose WWE. She still ended up in AEW. I think it all worked out perfectly. Becky Lynch says, if Trish Stratus wants to go, I'm ready to go. You guys have already done it with Charlotte. Why not? If Trish is down for it, why not? Scotty Too Hot said he just thought about it recently, but I wonder if Too Cool was a rib that just backfired. And I'm like, you know what? That's a good point. That's a good point. Because, like, think about it. Think about the inception. Like, you got white guys dancing to, you know,
hip-hop
theme. You remember what they were literally Too Sexy. And, like, you remember those names?
Grandmaster
Sexy. Scotty Too Hotty. Like, come on. Yeah, it was definitely... probably a real, and then it got over. Like, you got Rikishi there. You got a grown man wearing a thong on television.
Yeah.
You know, it definitely seems like a real that, hold up, these fuckers got it over.
Yeah.
That's what it seems like. So I actually kind of agree with him. MVP said, if you compare the not-so-great Khali to Omos, you're an idiot. So, yeah, this is a string. This is a couple of headlines, by the way, this past week of MVP burying the great Khali. But it's pretty renowned that Great Khali wasn't the best. Alexa Bliss is just waiting on a call at this point from WWE to make her TV return. I'm not surprised. NXT moving back to Full Sail at some point is a question that's being asked, is being talked about. I don't know what's going on with that. Cody Rhodes says he shares the blame for the divide between AEW and WWE fans. He said, I feel like that fan base, that divide that exists amongst all these different bubbles, if there was any negativity, well, I would put that some of that blame on my shoulders. Those last shows I had done before making the WWE return, I took fun pot shots and was talking smack, which is what us wrestlers do. I think sometimes the fans attach themselves to those statements and forget that we are in the realm of entertainment. But I added to the tribalism myself, so I can't necessarily get mad when I see the tribalism. That's a great statement. Awesome point. I think that's the same thing Chris Jericho does, why the JAS is sports entertainers. I think that's why he took some of the shots at WWE creative that he does, because at the end of the day, it's entertainment. Why not acknowledge that elephant in the room that a lot of people be thinking when they see a lot of these ex-WWE guys anyway? You know what I mean? When you see 2.0, you do know that they, cast aside, and they were jobbers on NXT. Thrown and cast aside, and now they're important in AEW. Like, there's nothing wrong with mentioning that. Only WWE racks my brain, and I can't figure out why they prefer not to mention people's history. But yeah, it's entertainment, man. Like, I agree with him. It's people who latch themselves on to the little shots, latch themselves on to these podcasts and all of that, and they have so much ill will and seem to be forgetting. It's just like when Mickie James come back. You don't understand how many people were so mad at her for going back to WWE, even though they threw the bag. Yeah, just for that one-time shot, even though they threw her stuff out. And I was like, you don't know how that was posed to her. It could have been like a whole apology agreement. She could have got an extra little bonus for, you know, anything. I'm pretty sure she did get an extra. I would have made sure they gave me my bag for that. But what I'm trying to say is that, you know, you don't know how that's presented, so stop trying to latch yourself on to a certain company just because of the way things look to you or yeah. way things sound. Like, just like for example, with the news that that, by the way, another headline that Cody said he was surprised that Matt Cardona did not stooge himself off. Well, the way Matt talks now, and you know, he is like basically an independent wrestling, like he's doing great. He's awesome right now. He's winning world titles everywhere.
Full throttle.
Right? If anybody wanted to be like elf them because he was never really treated fairly there, it could be him. But he was encouraging Cody to go back. Because again, it's, you know, it's business, it's entertainment. It's, none of this stuff is as serious as some of you people seem to take it.
It's a job, people.
That's all it is. Let's get to this recent round of releases. You know, Dexter Lumis was released. Harlan, a.k.a. Parker Boudreaux, was released. I say Boudreaux, but I could be wrong. It's like my cousin. Shout out to my cousin.
Boudreaux. Oh, yeah, it's Boudreaux.
It's like I thought, Boudreaux. All right, cool. Shout out to my cousin. Anyway.
Where he from?
He released. Shout out to you, by the way. Malcolm Bivens, my guy. Oh my goodness. One of the highlights. You, Mello, and Trick are my highlights, bro. I need y'all on NXT 2.0 and gone. But you know, I found out more details that Malcolm Bivens knew this was gone. Not Michael Bivens. Michael Bivens ain't released nowhere. Anyway, Malcolm knew he was gone. you know, he didn't sign back, so he kind of knew the writing was on the wall. Same thing with Dakota Kai for weeks now at a time. I'm hearing conflicting reports. People are saying that Dakota Kai, I saw somebody say the main roster didn't want Dakota Kai. Also, somebody say that, you know, Dakota Kai wasn't surprised because the writing had been on the wall since Triple H exited. Could have been the same thing. I'm going with Dakota Kai's version because it just makes more sense, in my opinion. I don't see how you can look at what Dakota did and then not think she's good enough for the main roster, but whatever. It's fine. You know, she'll be great wherever she goes. Shout out to Dakota Kai. I want to give a shout out to Persia, somebody else who I'm sure was at those meetings, because ever since this stupid Duke Dexter, I hated this storyline. I mentioned Dexter Lumis being released, or if I didn't, I should have mentioned it because he's released. Like, I still was shocked that certain people were gone, especially out of the two, you know, Dexter. You know, I wasn't expecting Dexter to be one gone, but I guess it makes sense. But I do feel bad for Persia because she, not only was she kind of improving, she was one of the ones who were willing to do a lot of the things, be revealing, kiss Duke Hudson for no bleeping reason on television for a segment or whatever. Like, she was willing to do a lot of stuff for them, so it kind of sucks to hear about that. But you know, and there's other releases like Mace's sister, who was 6'3", by the way. I can't believe WWE couldn't try to work that out, but, you know, who knows? By the way, the rumors have just, like, so disrespectful to me. Y'all didn't have to expose this information, but I want to say it now before I even get to my official rumors. Like, apparently, everybody else was kind of like a budget cut thing, the way Larry Knight explained it. It was budget cuts again, right? But for Harlan, somebody got the narrative report. And no, except for him. Like, no, they just thought he wasn't improving fast enough. And I'm just like, that's messed up. Like, who, man, they don't like you, man. Why would they, who set that part out? Not even just the expectation, but who's telling us that? Like, budget cut should be just, I'm pretty sure there's plenty of people they released who they thought weren't that good.
They said budget cuts.
And budget cuts is always, but yeah, but for some reason they want to disqualify budget cuts for him. Like, come on, that's disrespectful. That's all I'm saying. They're like, goddamn. Anyway, Roman Reigns, they said, broke character at a house show. In Europe, and I just want to let y'all know. He said the only thing he said, this is what got everybody in a tizzy about his as far as his comments about The Rock.
Okay,
because it's house shows. People give different types of babyface promos, heel promos, whatever at house shows all the time. That's what you do, because at some point I'm pretty sure they see Roman being a babyface. So that's basically all it was. He let them acknowledge him, of course. The only thing he said was, because somebody in the crowd mentioned The Rock, and he said, yeah, The Rock can get it too. Bow, now it's viral. Now he calling out The Rock, apparently, and it's viral. That's the only thing he said. That has been pretty consistent, by the way. Roman has always said The Rock can get it too. But anyway, let's see. It's just like I mentioned, Bivens and Dakota Kai was definitely expected to leave. The writing on the wall for her seemed to be when Triple H was just no longer running it. Once she found out that he was like done running NXT, she has had her bag packed also. So, right? Like that's what it sounds like according to these reports. And the Bloodline's appearing on Monday Night Raw. They're desperate. Yeah, they're desperate. They need that ratings boost. So I just told y'all about that. That's the only reason why I want to announce this. Like they've pre-announced that they'll be there for Raw because after you find out the ratings has been the lowest they've been. So let's get that Roman boost. Let's get that Bloodline boost. And the Young Bucks, last but not least, the Young Bucks will headline tonight's Triple Mania 30 in Monterrey. So there you go. Speaking of that, all
right.
Speaking of that, I'm going in the rumors. Just gonna go smoothly into it since I've been talking.
Slide right in there.
Yeah. I don't know if I still have the headline. But as far as the Triple A show, remember I reported that they said Alberto El Patron may be there. I think they pulled him off the card.
Well, good for
they pulled him. He won't be there. Monday, the rumors were that Oscar will be returning, possibly on Monday Night Raw. Want to confirm that happened? You know what the other rumor was? Becky Lynch versus Oscar could be the feud upon the latter's return. That's it too. Exactly true. You know what else was a rumor Monday? Mustafa Ali is tentatively scheduled to return WWE television on Raw.
He returned.
That's also true.
Who is this? Was that Reddit user?
No, they didn't. They didn't tell us who this source is. It's just a rumor. They didn't tell us. All of this, I guess, it all comes from Fifer. My fault. All comes from Fifer Select.
They're pretty credible.
Fifer Select is pretty, yeah, they're good at that. WrestlingNews.co. So I wasn't wrong when I said Wrestling News Co. I just wanted to correct myself if I was wrong.
.co.
Anyway, claims we should expect more turns from several stars coming in the weeks, in the coming weeks, because Vince McMahon feels that some of the talent is being miscast right now.
Really?
I wonder. PW Insider notes that WWE sent out a survey asking the company about utilizing the ranking system, and I told y'all don't do one for the women's division. It's gonna be only like 5 people with positive records. 6, the tag champions: Charlotte, Becky, Bianca, Rhea, maybe. But yeah, everybody else probably gonna have weird records. I don't know. We'll see how that goes. If they even gonna do the record, they could just have just a straight up ranking system. Like blank, this person is ranked number 1 in WWE right now. He's a champion. That don't prove. He's the number one contender. Yeah, he's number one, so he's the number one contender. That's how they should do it. The champion should need a ranking.
Yeah, because
that's what they should do.
They did this in the past.
He did this?
Yeah, I remember, like, on the games. You know, on the games, they do those power ratings.
Oh, yeah. That's just the games, though.
I know.
They probably used to rank them on this website, too, back in the day, too.
Could have been.
For that matter, but
I didn't have the internet.
What I will say, if they do it, I would like everyone who's not a champion to have, like, a number by their name. Like, kind of like college football, when a person is ranked in the top 25, they get their double ranked. I think it would be a nice way to have all types of storylines if they do it in that way, but I wouldn't be surprised. Honestly, I'm going to save that one. Don't do it, WWE. Never know. I might be promoting one day. If I promote, that's going to be my idea. I just told everybody my idea, so if somebody steal it before I ever get to promote, you guys heard it here. I got jacked by somebody. Whoever you are, if you're listening, you damn thief. Anyway, Vince McMahon sees a young John Cena in theory. Okay, they kind of look alike. Whatever. Give the kid everything he needs to be successful is what the WWE source told WrestleVote. So, yes, theory is on the rise. I'm not surprised by that at all. Tommaso Ciampa's first name will be dropped. He will go by Ciampa.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Mostly because of this new rule where Vince McMahon says there will no longer be people like John Cena where you use your real name. There will no longer be, there'll be Randy Orton too, for that matter. So, yeah, no more of those. No more real names. It's a speculation based on what Dave Meltzer, on a Dave Meltzer discussion of SmackDown women's, of their women's division, that Ronda Rousey will win that title at WrestleMania Backlash because WWE wouldn't book that MMA legend to lose an I Quit match. And because babyface Lacey Evans will give Charlotte Flair someone to feud with after you losing the belt. Okay, that sounds logical. No problem with that. Because it seemed like even in Lacey's promo, people like Charlotte would be the people that she would be against. So it makes sense.
Those bop saves.
Yeah, it makes sense. That part makes sense. the part that don't make sense to me is, if you give Ronda the belt, why the hell are we booking Charlotte's next feud and not Ronda's? That's the only thing I don't care. I don't think I'm wondering about.
I mean,
about,
Ronda, like, applied to that too, yeah?
I mean, she can, but she's not healed yet, so they're not going to do it yet, I don't think.
Yeah.
And Lacey would probably have to beat, she would have to get through Charlotte first, so it's like, where else do you go? You just buried poor Shotzi in a minute. It's going to be Aaliyah. Aaliyah's a baby face. Who's the heel? Who's a heel that's going to fight Ronda next? Who's even another heel in the women's division on SmackDown? Shayna? I guess they're going to pull Shayna away from Natty. After, you know, Natty and them going to lose. That's probably what's going to happen. But it wouldn't be Shayna versus Ronda, would it? They've already done Natty and Ronda. Oh, my goodness. SmackDown is horrible. Ain't it? The more I think about it, the women's division right now is horrible. All right. Eddie Kingston and Daniel Garcia match on Rampage last Friday was heavily edited for time. They cut it down. The televised version was 9 minutes shorter than the live one. Damn. They cut the hell out of that match. Anyway, Ringside News claims WWE doesn't actually have any interest in bringing FTR back, as has been talked about recently. I told you guys about those rumors. 1 week, they tell you, oh, no, yeah, you know, we interested. Then, you know what happened, though? This is what happened. They didn't like FTR reply. So now they're like, nah, man, we was never interested. Hell nah. Because FTR had said, FTR's original reply was so perfect. FTR's reply was perfect. They were like, do they want us back or they just want AEW not to have us? I'm like, you know what, man? You ain't never lying, FTR. They don't give a damn about a tag team, especially a tag team that ain't ever going to break up.
Oh, yeah.
They don't give a damn about a tag team, bro.
No.
Ali was originally scheduled to lose to The Miz. Why the fuck? Why would you do that? I'm so glad that he won. I'm glad they changed that. Why would you do that? Other than, you know what? So I think Vince knew it was going to be a firestorm. They knew it. So they wanted to. That means his place will be coming. He will be put in it soon. Just wait. He will be put in it soon. That's all that sounds like to me. They only avoided that because they were just like, you know what, man? We don't need Twitter. It's not even about Twitter, because Vince don't care about that. I just don't care about it. I don't need him complaining. We just got him back to work.
Right?
He's going to walk right out.
One thing about Ali, he ain't got no problems with going home.
Well, right back out. They also say WWE hasn't frozen his deal like they could have. So he's been getting paid. There are no indications that they will, by the way. So they haven't frozen that deal. So for the time off, he could be just working his way out of the company. But it don't come up until mid-2024. So why are we talking about this? This man is in servitude right now. That's what it sounds like. At least he get paid, but still.
So he not like, leaving until mid-20.
Like, he can't go anywhere for 2 years, dog. I just thought about it. Why the hell y'all talking about this like that? Like it was coming up. They talked about it like he had 6 months left. Although he hasn't appeared on WWE television yet, LA Knight has officially been called up. He done the NXT. Yeah, that's what I thought. They kind of rushed his fight with Walter, and he got a title match out of nowhere for no reason. Anytime they do stuff like that, it seemed like they were just trying to get you to say you've done everything you can do in NXT, whether you win the title or not. So, I'm not surprised. LA Knight is good for the main roster. Also, I thought when he worked with Ziggler and The Miz, they would probably put in a good word for him, and that's probably what also happened. Bobby Roode know about LA Knight. I think he'd be fine, depending on how they – Purdue, you know, depending on how they protect him.
He has a good sports entertainment character.
But yeah, he's good. Yeah, he talks well. He's going to be fine with them. Unless they screw it up. But I think he should be cool. Emily Pratt, a fan bite, says, it's what I mentioned earlier. Alberto El Patron was pulled from that Triple Mania show. It's going to be a replacement wrestler from the American independent scene. Wow, do you know how many people you got to choose from?
That's a lot of people.
Anyway, Ringside News claims WWE doesn't. Tony Khan found out about Nick Khan's effort to establish a working relationship between WWE and New Japan through his trusted contacts in New Japan, who told him that working with AEW was their priority. Bruh, stop. Trusted contacts. You ain't, man, it's just the guy you've been, it's just the president. Just go ahead and say it with him. He said it. For trusted contacts. Why you have to protect the contacts here? I'm joking. Anyway, yeah, of course. That's fine. WWE has tried to work with New Japan, but every time I think about them working together, it just don't sound like they're working together. It really don't ever sound like that. It just sound like, it sound like they don't even want to take the company. It don't sound like they want to work with
hostile takeover.
Yes, that's what it sound like. It never seemed like. And plus, the way they depicted Kushida, the Shinsuke's of the world, do you think New Japan would ever seriously entertain that?
No.
And I'm not even talking about win-loss record. I'm just saying depiction.
Yeah.
Because they're not necessarily winning all the time in AEW. But at least they depicted the same. Like, Suzuki, when he comes out in AEW, he is the same Suzuki he is in New Japan. Anyway, WWE wants to run more stadium shows. That's obvious. Apparently, New Japan officials not only knew about but encouraged Tony Khan's promo on Nick Khan last May when he referred to that president as some con man from Connecticut. You know, you get it? Con man?
Yeah,
con.
He can't do that, though.
Yeah, Tony, that's your name, too. That's your name, too. Come on, bro.
You can't do that.
You can't do it. But, all right, it's fine. It works, though. I don't mind it. On a recent episode of Grilling JR, JR said he'll be working with The Rock 7 Bucks Production on a project that's going to go back and look at the territory. I like that. That's a great job. Great person to select, too, by the way. JR also said, on that same podcast, that's what he said. He wouldn't be on Dark Side of the Ring anymore. So, yeah. But, yeah. He's going to be doing stories about the territories. I'm pretty sure it's going to be a lot less getting in people's business. That might be what JR hated. I think some of that stuff was messing up his relationships because we're getting deep in people's business on Dark Side of the Ring. You know what I mean? We get all in people's business. Rumors, stuff really happened, stuff that may not have happened. They don't
sometimes,
care.
Sometimes you want to see the bright side of it too.
And that's what I'm saying. That's why I think JR was like, nah, man, forget this, man. They messing up relationship. Hey, I'm too old to be just sitting around here being thinking about all the dark. Like, can we just, let's talk about the good parts of the glory day. Like, why we gotta look back so negatively?
God dang. I got other stories.
Dynamite was heavily rewritten because of Hangman Page's COVID, of course.
Of course.
And let's see, what else is Nick? You know, once again, like I told you, Meltzer said there was originally going to be a big angle this week setting up Hangman, of course. But with the COVID, like I mentioned earlier. AEW has an uncertain future here, according to Meltzer, and a potential sale. The company was valued approximately $400 million 1 year ago, and it's way up there from now. Way up from that now. So they're doing really good. I don't know why he said uncertain future. I don't know if Tony has mentioned selling it or whatever.
I think it's going to be public. I don't know what's going on, but it's going to go to public trading.
It's going to become a public trading company.
Yeah, that makes sense. 9 times out of 10, when the value goes up like that, it's like, everybody get a piece of
it. That makes sense, but I want everybody to watch out, though. Watch out. Everybody claim that's where WWE started to change. Mess up. So I'm just saying, publicly trading your company might not always be what it's like, but I'm not saying it's a bad thing either. Make the money. Make your money. Like, well, make your money, man. Make your money. I ain't mad at that. Ringside News said that the general consensus in WWE is that Ryback is nuts and he's just too risky to bring back. He out of his mind. They don't believe him. So when you told me he was trending earlier, that's what I said. I said it's probably because WWE's basically thinking he out of his damn mind, which he's confirmed on a couple of occasions that he might not be, you know, in the best state all the time. Lurie and I sent out an email, like I mentioned earlier, telling the people releases that it was budget cuts. One NXT official was upset about the lack of notice. Yeah, I mentioned this. The management NXT had no clue about this because they were potentially affecting ongoing storylines, and I'm telling you right now, they were, because Malcolm Bivens was literally, seemed like, well, I guess he was about to get kicked out of the goddamn Diamond Mine, I guess is where they were heading with it. Because Roger Strong was basically telling him some things about the chain. Well, damn, I ain't think he's going to get fired. Think he's going to be gone. Same thing, you know, Dakota Kai. So anyway, yeah, NXT, obviously, this is not the first time. They, you know, if NXT is going to be a mess, it's just going to be a mess. And the main roster only makes it even more of a mess at this point. I think that's one thing that we know. Sammy Guevara was injured during that 6:30 off the ladder in the main event of this week's Dynamite. Like I mentioned earlier, he told others that he'll be okay, but the severity of that injury is unknown. As someone who watched his vlogs a lot, Sammy was always hurt. So I'm not surprised that he's hurt now, still doing the crazy stuff that he likes to do. NXT's schedule calls for an In Your House show on the USA Network in June on Peacock in July, but nothing is currently planned for SummerSlam weekend. So seems like that might be where they're going. They may not do a big show like they've done in years past, but after an hour of just talking a bunch of wrestling news and headlines and rumors, I am finally done. If this was a chore to hear, especially me reading, I apologize. Last but not least, we have to get into
Those Marbles.
A highly rated part of the show, by the way, I have to mention. Because since you've been doing Those Marbles, I have seen the interactions go on the rise. So I don't know if it's a correlation to Those Marbles. I don't know if people are starting to get in the buzz down. I don't know if our consistency is working in our favor.
All of the above.
I think it's everything, but let's get right into it. Give us your marbles as we creep upon an hour of talking.
All right. Annyeong haseyo, everyone. Hello. So, first up, BTS announced yesterday. It wasn't BTS, it was HYBE. But HYBE announced yesterday that there's going to be a workout with BTS series starting on May the 2nd. Which, if you live in America, which we do, right? Central Standard Time, that's like 3 in the morning. It's going to be on YouTube, I hope. I'll keep you updated next week. We'll see how this goes. BTS in the SOM, they launched their pre-register. It reached 1 million pre-registrations. They have a whole promo tour out. They did an interview. They talked about how they named it. And people, I am hooked. Am I one of the people that pre-registered? Yes, 100%. Am I going to throw my life away later on in the month of May when this comes and it drops? Probably. You're going to have to pry my phone from my cold, unstudied hands. I don't know.
Unstudied?
Yeah, because I'm supposed to be studying in May.
Okay.
I'm going to have to set a timer on that.
Unstudied ain't a word, doctor.
It's not. I know. I was going to say undead, but I can't say that. Anyway, so just an update on what happened. Like I told y'all last week, Jimin's OST was released on Sunday. And, With You is such an emotional song. I didn't realize that a large portion of it was in English because I was just vibing with the overall presence of Jimin and Sungwoon's vocals. I'm going to make sure I make sure that I say that Sungwoon was a part of this song because he was.
Yeah, a lot more than everybody else giving them. Go ahead.
Over the past week, Jimin has been crushing these goals, apparently.
Jimin and Sungwoon.
Hold on. I have to preface it.
Nah, everybody keep forgetting him, man. I don't even know.
But I have to say Jimin because what is happening is people put With You in this playlist of other Jimin solo songs.
Oh, my God.
So all of his original solo accomplishments have increased. So Jimin has been crushing these goals. Also, the big thing is With You, the song with Jimin and Sungwoon, reached number one in 115 countries, the fastest ever.
I don't even know if I should give him a clap, honestly. Go ahead and explain why I shouldn't give him a clap. Go ahead. It's a whole system. Go ahead.
It is a whole system. It is an organized frontier. Okay. At the beginning of this, I was like, all right, I'm gonna just listen to the song every day, sprinkle it in some playlists because I liked the song. Then I saw on Twitter that they were hosting streaming parties and they're giving you tips and tricks for how to make your streams count because you're on like a certified playlist or some malarkey. And I was like, this is too much for me.
Malarkey.
I'm going to like take a couple steps back. I have done my part here. Again, I love this song. It's a beautiful song. It's sad. It's sad as hell. I'm in a committed relationship and they're talking about heartbreak. And one day I cried because I was actually like looking at the lyrics. I was like,
oh my God, you cried?
A little tear. It wasn't like, I wasn't bawling. I don't want you to think I was bawling. I wasn't bawling, but I felt emotions. And Jimin's voice is so beautiful, but also Sungwoon's voice is great. A great compliment to Jimin's voice because, as we know, or as you should know, if you don't know, go listen to Jimin's music, please.
Oh my God.
But Jimin has a very soft, sensual, passionate voice.
Sensual.
And sometimes he needs someone that's a little deeper to kind of balance it out. Anyway, other news. So I thought I said this the last time, but my all-time favorites of BTS are Jimin and Sugar. And Jimin and Sugar smacked me in the face this week.
Whoa.
Basically, the Jimin OST, like I said, it exceeded my expectations for what a soundtrack is. Like, if you're in America, soundtracks ain't really that important. But when you're doing it on a K-drama, soundtrack is important. You got to come for it. But Sugar had originally announced that he was the producer for this sidetrack, that. And then the next day, Sugar was like, actually, I produced it and I'm featured in it. And then the next day, Sugar was like, actually, I'm in the video, I produced it, and I wrote a little verse for it. And then Friday, when it dropped, 4 a.m., the Lord woke me up out of my sleep, and I had to go to YouTube. I clicked it. I was like, oh, my God, what is going on here? I was not supposed to like this song, but by goodness, I love it.
Now, why do you say you're not supposed to like the song?
Because it was really, the snippets I heard were like really upbeat, really catchy, really fast paced.
That's exactly what the song is.
Repetitive. It was like, it was what today's pop music wants to be, if that makes sense. Like, I've lately been liking more meaningful songs.
Gotcha.
But Psy said, y'all thought y'all got rid of me. It's been 10 years. And guess what? I can do it again. And he did. The goal for this on YouTube was to get 16 million views in 24 hours. Tell me why they had 16 million views in like 12 hours.
They got 30 something in count now?
Currently, at the time of my looking at it, it was at 32 million. So they doubled the goal, right? And I was like, oh my God, that is wild. But Sugar was great. Loved it.
Yeah, it's good. I actually like the song too. I didn't talk about the Jimmy OST because I could care less about the softness of that song. I let you guys have that soft ass song. But
don't get murdered in your sleep.
I let y'all have it, like I said. But you know, the side song was right up my alley. I still like Gentlemen. I watch it on YouTube every now and then. I haven't watched Gangnam Style in a long time because they kind of killed it. Yeah, you know, because it got played out. But I liked that, too, when it was out back in the day. And he's made music since then. You know, you said he's been gone 10 years.
Last album was like, 2017, I think.
Yeah,
so like,
yeah. He's been putting out music. But he's back, like he mentioned at the beginning. And it was fun. Just like a lot of his music videos are hilarious. It was fun. It had its moments. And, yeah, man, I thought it was cool. And I think the timing of it was really good, too, with it being the spring and a lot of people. It was literally about the pandemic basically being over. So
Korea just lifted their guidelines for, gathering and such.
Yeah, so stuff is opening up. It's a high-energy track, you know.
It was what we needed.
It's meant to be popular, yeah.
It kicked the summer off right. And I'm going to say this every week until it actually happens. New BTS album, June 10th. Oh my God, set the summer on fire. Because if this what they putting out right now in anticipation, they trying to hype you up. You are not getting rid of them for a while.
You got other news to get into.
Switching gears, Chanyeol of EXO was recently asked by a fan at a fan sign event. He's still in the military. I just want to clarify there. What his goals were, or what was his plans after discharge? And Chani said, "We're getting a solo album, and I am excited. But my question is, are we getting Chani the rapper or Chani acoustic guitar? Because those are two different vibes, and I'm interested to see where we go with this."
Yeah, as far as it's funny though, out of XO, they have a decent track record so far with solo. I actually like songs from
three out of eight.
I like solo songs from them. We'll see what he can bring to the table.
Speaking of solos, Monday, EXO's Chin was discharged from the military. Can we get a pop for that?
And to fans who don't know, like, the military really is like prison.
When it comes to it.
Like, because it's not even one of them.
Hard race.
It's not even the way it is over here in America, where it's like, you know,
you can still do stuff. You are just doing what they told you to do.
You can't make music and be in the military. You can't tour. You can't do a lot of other stuff. So is meaningful if you don't know. But go ahead.
Yes, yes. So will we be getting a solo Chin project? Or
let that man go home, his kid.
Will we be waiting for Bay to get out and reform CBX with Zoomin and Chin? We've got options. And does that also mean, because I think Bay finishes his military somewhere at the end of this year, early next year. Depending on how this goes, we at least get 2 more years of not having Chin, not having Sehun and Kai go to the military. Chan Yeol should be getting out soon. So we'll have EXO United probably by the end of the year, early next year. And we may get a new album. And like we talked about earlier, this is a good time for EXO. I don't think EXO was able to capitalize on that true K-pop boom, because as soon as, I'm going to say 2018, as soon as like the world was like, oh crap, I don't have to understand what you're saying to vibe with this music.
Even though I give credit, because some of them shows I've seen now, a lot of the rest of the world. So speak for America right now, because I saw stuff from 2013, BTS killing it in Mexico, with people crying.
They don't count.
You know, stuff like that. Yeah, so the rest of it, a lot of the other world have already.
I'm talking about America, the UK, but English-speaking countries.
Yeah, go ahead.
English-speaking countries, because they're the ones with the massive ego. I don't think EXO was able to capitalize on that as much as some of the newer acts are, like NCT, N-Hyphen, those groups. So I want to see them together as a whole 8-member unit, and see what they can really do when they conquer the world. Now, that's that. I just want to say I have ascended into my standing of K-pop. I'm not God tier yet, but I think it's time for me to start learning some choreo. I'm gonna start by learning the Eve choreo by EXO. I feel like I have to take baby steps, and that's pretty simple. So we shall see. After yesterday being World Choreo Day,
K-pop has awakened the dancer in you.
I've always been a dancer, but
that's why I said awakened. You just put it asleep.
Reawakened.
Yeah, just put it asleep. Just woke it back up.
We shall see how that goes. I will update you. Whiting. That is all.
I don't necessarily know what I'm gonna title this one, so we will see. Ah, never mind. I know what I'm going to talk about. Never mind. I got it. Anyway, you already know what I'm about to say. This time, instead of doing two languages, I'm just going to pick one. Au revoir.
안녕하세요.